for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, our Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday afternoon, December the 30th, 1992. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
But I have a problem when I start to get up here. Unless I watch the clock, I could go to 6 o'clock because there's so many things happen. And Dr. Null has that same problem, so he has to watch the clock to see when he's going to quit, and then he just has to shut it off and quit so we can have deliverance. But he's been around, we've been around each other here so long that somebody said we even look kind of alike. I don't know.
He's got more hair.
Oh! I don't know. It's fast disappearing.
I want to talk to you today a little bit. We've been covering curses in various forms. The subject of curses is a very wide subject, and I guess I could talk 3 or 4 hours about it. Glenn talked to you about the generational curses. Today I want to talk to you about the spoken word, the word that is spoken. You know, once words are spoken, they can't be called back. The Bible speaks a great deal about spoken words, and it attaches a lot of importance to them, much more than we attach. Let's look at James 3:2. And James is talking about the tongue. He says, "For we all stumble in many things. If one does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at ships. Although they are large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a small member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. Of every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly, evil, and full of poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who has been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." And he goes on and says, "A spring doesn't send forth fresh water, and a fig tree doesn't yield different fruits, but the tongue yields different fruits." And he says it shouldn't be that way. But you notice he says no man can control the tongue. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Let's look at Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." If you love to talk, idle talk will get you in trouble. How many people know that? I used to have a very good friend who was a salesman, and he said he'd seen more people lose a sale because they sat around and talked after they got the sale. Once the order was signed, he would get up and leave immediately. He said otherwise he'd seen people sit there and talk and talk, and the man would reconsider and he would lose the sale. Either he would offend him or he would say something that would make the man change his mind. The Bible is very specific about what it says your tongue ought to do. Let's look at Ephesians 4:29. Let's look at some of the things that how the Bible says that you should, what you should do with your tongue. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, so that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now, that doesn't mean that a parent cannot correct their child, because in correcting their child, they're edifying, they're building them up. It does not mean that you can't have constructive conversations. But does your conversation impart grace and edification to those who hear it? That's what you need to ask yourself before you open your mouth and talk. The next sentence says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away with all malice. But be kind to one another, tender heart, loving one another, forgiving, just as God in Christ also forgave you." And so you can grieve the Holy Spirit with your conversation. I think one of the greatest shocks of my life was we were sitting around the table visiting my mother. My mother was raised Baptist, and she was in the Episcopal Church, and she was somewhat upset with me that I had left the Episcopal Church when I... My son, who is an Episcopal minister, was there with me, and we were talking, and we began to joke, and one of us told a joke about someone, and my mother took me to task, and she said, and I said, "Well, you were laughing at," she said, "I don't pretend to be a preacher, but you're a preacher, and you are not supposed to talk about people." And I shut my mouth. "Yes, ma'am." Because she convicted me. It hurt. I mean, she was very firm with me. And I was, well, it happened 3 years ago. That'll give you an idea how old I was. And I said, it's been longer than that now, about 5 years ago. And I said to her, "Yes, ma'am, mother." She was 80 years old. I said, "Yes, ma'am, mother." And I shut my mouth. But we were just sitting around fellowshipping. But we were making fun of someone. We were poking fun at someone else. And that was wrong. Although my mother thought it was funny, she told me that as a person who professed to be a minister, I don't profess to be a minister, but she called me a preacher, as to get up and proclaim the Word of God, James said, well, let's see what James says about teachers. Let's look at James 4. I got into this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. James 3:1 says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive a stricter judgment." And my mother applied the stricter judgment. Praise the Lord. And God, let's look at Romans 12:14. And here Paul is speaking of someone who has been hurt. Curse their family. And they're saying, "What should we do?" And Paul says in verse 14, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless, do not curse." How many of you have had loved ones, bosses, acquaintances persecute you with their tongue? Just persecute you, ride you incessantly. And you're not in a position to be able to fight back. Or perhaps you are in a position to be fighting. What do you do? The Bible says, you bless them. Do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Repay no one evil for evil. And the verse I always remember is verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place for wrath. What is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. You know, there are two things you should do. You should let the Lord defend you, and you should let the Lord avenge you. Let the Lord defend you, and I'm not saying that you should stand mute and be persecuted for something you didn't do, but if someone starts rumors about you that you cannot defend, then you have to let the Lord defend you. You get out and pour gasoline on you when you start arguing. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Matthew 12. Matthew 12, 33-37. And we read back to get the context. It says, either make a tree good, and its fruit will be good, or a tree bad, and its fruit bad, or a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. You want to know what's down your heart? Look at what comes out of your mouth. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. The companion verse to that is in Luke 6:47. We won't look at that. But if you're making notes, you can look at Luke 6:45. But I say to you, of every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. Now, most people pass over that verse, but it's right here. By your words you will be justified. Justified means acquitted. That is a legal term, to be made righteous by you. And when you've been justified, you've been acquitted. And by your words you will be condemned. And so let's look at Matthew 12:34. Okay. Let's look at Matthew 15. Let's look at Matthew 15. And we start down here at, we look at verse 10. And he called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of a mouth. This defiles a man. And then his apostles asked him to explain it. And in verse 16, Jesus said, are you still without understanding? Do you not understand that whatever enters into the mouth goes in the stomach and out in the drop? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemy. These are the things that defile a man. Did you ever wonder, how do these evil things get into your heart? Now, education says that there are two gates. One is the eye gate, and one is the ear gate. The Bible says in Galatians, whatever you sow, so shall you reap. Now, if you sow the Word of God into your heart, and you read it with your eyes, and you listen to it from your tapes, and you read it with your eyes. Now, basically, children will remember about 40%, 20 to 40% of what they hear, about 60% of what they hear and see, and about 80% of what they hear, see, and do. And so if you just sit and listen to tapes, you'll retain about 20% of it. If you make notes, you'll retain about 60% of it. But if you sit down and make notes and stop and look up the scriptures in the Bible and read them and take time with the tape and take 3 hours to go through an hour of tape and make notes and look up the scriptures, you'll probably retain 80% of it, particularly if you review it within 24 hours. Yeah. And you plant that down into your heart. And as you plant in your heart, you plant the Word of God in your heart, that's what's going to come out. If you plant the daytime soap operas, if you plant watching the jigglers on television, the TNA shows, or these the jigglers going by, if you plant that in your heart, if you plant gossip, then that's what's going to come out. If you plant bitterness, bitterness will come out. It's the law of sowing and reaping, people. And I tell you, you should be very careful as to what you subject yourself to. You should be careful to what you listen to. You should be careful to what you read. What do you put in your heart? Do you spend time reading trashy novels? Which is a modern, most women don't like pornography, but they read these trashy novels that are very sexually explicit. And you see the bookstores are full of them. You go into the grocery store and they've got a whole section of all kind of love stories. And very explicit, and the people who buy these are mostly women. Women don't really get turned on as easily as men do with their eyes. They can if they watch enough of it. Or if they come into bondage, get a sexual lust demon bondage, then it will turn on. But women get turned on by reading. Is that what you're reading, ladies? Or are you reading the Word of God? What you sow, you'll reap. What you sow will come out of your mouth. Okay, let's look at Ephesians 5:3. Paul gives very good instructions on what you should and shouldn't do in Ephesians and Colossians. Ephesians 5:3. Now, I like the New International Version of this better. I don't have a copy of it here, but it says, among the children of God, there should not be even a hint of sexual immorality. But it says here, but fornication and all cleanliness and covetous, let not even be named among you as fitting of the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. So you're not supposed to have dirty jokes, or foolish talk, or coarse jesting. But you're supposed to give thanks. Let's look at verse 18 and 20. Do this. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to one another in your heart, giving thanks for all things to God our Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians it says, whatever you do in word or deed, but in all things, give thanks. It is in 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God through Him. Now, if you can say something, you can get up there and you can say it, and you can honestly in your heart give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ for it, then it's all right to say it. If you can honestly say that. But remember, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You shouldn't be condemning other people. You know, when I deal with people and they start telling me about all the hurts and they want to trot out the ugly tree and show me how badly they've been treated and talk about it for hours on end. And I say, well, that's right. Obviously, you've been hurt very badly. Let's leave that and move on and see if you can get healed. But what they want to do is they want to sit and look at the ugly tree. And they come back next week and they talk to you and they trot the ugly tree out again. And you say, well, I think it'd be much prettier if you pruned a little bit here and you fertilized a little bit and you cut this off. And they get insulted because they want to bring that ugly tree out and continue to talk about it. If you're sincere, you need to leave the past. You need to leave the past. You need to leave all the bad talk. You just need to leave it and give that with God. Say, Lord, I give it to you. Bless him. I'm gonna put my eyes on Jesus Christ. I'm going to move ahead. And I'm going to let the past go. Lord, you bless that in the name of Jesus. Cut me loose from it. I want to leave. That you'll get healed. But as long as you keep the ugly plant, so folks will know how bad you've been treated and feel sorry for you, you won't ever get free. Well, I got about 15 other things, but I think we better move on. But what I really want you to see, Colossians 3, 8 and 9 and 16 and 4:2, you can read those at your leisure. But I want you to know that the words that come out of your mouth have spiritual authority. When you launch things out of your mouth, these words carry authority with them. The Bible is very explicit on that the spoken word carries authority in the spiritual realm. The spoken word carries authority in the spiritual realm. Now, the Bible gives us patterns for certain types of certain relationships of authority. Now, the first I want to look at is the father, the relationship of the Father and the Son. Let's look at Genesis 27. I don't want to say anything that I cannot support the Scripture. In this, we have the story of Jacob going to Isaac to steal the blessing from Esau, prompted by his mother Rebekah. And look at verse 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Look, well, let's start at verse 10. When he said, you take it to your father, and that he might eat it, and that he may bless you before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. And so here it tells us that a curse and a father can curse his son. Now, when you say bad things about your children, and the mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son, only obey me and go and do them for me. Okay. So a father can curse his son. And in this world, you can curse your son. You get angry at him and you say, you're a stupid. And then you go on with some three or four letter words and you won't ever amount to a hill of beans. And you're always going to be that way. That is a curse. And that has authority in the spiritual realm. And the evil one can dispense an evil spirit to bring that curse to pass. And I've seen this happen dozens of times. So you must be very careful. When you get angry, you shut your mouth. But when you say things like that, if you make such a statement, you should repent immediately. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Now, that's in Ephesians. It says, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, nor give place to the devil. That word, giving place to the devil, means moving over on a couch and letting him sit down next to you, or making him a place at the table. Everybody sort of moves out so he can sit down at the table. That's what it means in the Greek. And that's what you do when you become angry and have angry words with your children. You have the full spiritual authority to curse your children. If you've done that, what do? You repent and you say, Lord, help us. Lord, I repent of the sin of cursing my son. I reject it in the name of Jesus Christ. My son will not be stupid. My son will be intelligent and he will prosper in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, be in health and prosper as your soul prospers. And I claim this for him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, forgive me and help me bridle my tongue. And then if your son's of age of understanding, you might go apologize to him. That will do more for you than a whole lot. I mean, I used to have problems with a lying spirit of exaggeration. I just used to love to tell tales and exaggerate and take a grain of truth and stretch it out. And God made me, when I did that, he made me go to those people and say, I'm sorry I told you a lie. I want you to forgive me. That was not the truth. That was an exaggeration. It was a lie. Will you forgive me? Now, you do this two or three times and people look at you like, what kind of... You quit lying. You quit lying. I mean, you learn. You say, oh, Lord, help me bridle my tongue, Lord. I once filled out praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at Genesis 31, 32. And here we have a husband cursing his wife, although he did not know it. You remember when Jacob left Laban, his wife Rebekah, his favored wife, Rachel, his favorite wife, stole the household gods and put them in her camel bags. And Laban chased him and ran him down. He met him and he said, well, I see you. It's all right that you took your flocks and you took your daughter. You took everything, but you have to steal my gods too. Now, God had confronted him and said, you will not harm this man. So Laban went in instead of going to doing him anything, but he said, did you have to steal my gods too? He said, I didn't steal your gods. He said, search. Anybody you find these gods on, he said, anybody who stole my gods shall die. Let's look right here. Praise the Lord Jesus. What verses? 31:32. With whomever you find your gods, do not let him live. In the presence of our brethren, what I have is ours, and take and and take it from you. But Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. And then in 35, she went into the tent. Rachel said, I've got my period. I can't get up, Father. And she said, okay. And so she had the gods under, the aisles were sitting under her skirts. And what happened to Rachel? He says, you shall not live. And let's look over in the chapter 35, verses 16. Now when they journeyed from Bethel and they came a little distance to go, Rachel travailed in childbirth. She had hard labor. Now when it came to pass, she was in hard labor, that the midwife said to her, do not fear, you will have this son also. And so it was, as her soul was departing, for she died, she called his name Benoni, but the father changed his name to Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried. So he cursed his favored wife, and she died. Now you can say that's a coincidence if you wish, but she'd had one child before that. She had Jacob, and she didn't have any trouble with that one. And then she travails and dies in childbirth with the second one. She didn't die from infection. She died in childbirth. Praise you, Lord. Joseph. Yep. Thank you. So a father may curse his son, his children. He may curse his wife. Now let's look at positions of authority. Did you know that your pastor can curse you? Let's look at Numbers 5:19. This is the curse of the jealousy. A man thinks that his wife has been unfaithful to him. He becomes very jealous, and so he brings her to the priest, and he brings with him a grain offering. And so rather long, complicated ritual he goes through, and the priest takes some holy water from an earthen vessel, puts some dust from the ground in it, and he shall stand the woman before the Lord and uncover the woman's head. And put the offering of remembrance in her hand, which is a grain offering for jealousy, and the priest shall have in his hand a bit of water that brings the curse. And number 19. And the priest shall put her under oath and say to the woman, if no man is lain with you, and if you have not gone astray to uncleanliness, while your husband, under your husband's authority, you shall be free from this bit of water that brings the curse. But if you've gone astray while under your husband's authority, and if you defiled yourself, and some man other than your husband is laid with you, and the priest shall put the woman under the oath of the curse, and then say to the woman, the Lord make you a curse and an oath among your people, when the Lord makes you a fire rot and your belly swell. And may this water that causes the curse go into your stomach and make your belly swell and your thigh rot. And the woman shall say, amen, so be it. And then the priest writes the curses on a piece of paper and scrapes them off, and he has the woman drink it. And if she is indeed, then she, her belly does swell and her thigh does rot. But this is an example of someone in a position of authority cursing someone under them. Let's look at Joshua 6:26. I mean Joshua. Joshua 6:26. They have just conquered Jericho. By a miracle, God has given it to them by a supernatural miracle. And then Joshua charged them, verse 26, at that time saying, cursed be the man before God who raises up the walls of this city. He shall lay the foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set the gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. Now Joshua was the appointed leader of the people. And he spoke this curse. Now this comes, the fulfillment of this curse is listed in 1 Kings 16:34. Let's turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 16:34. In the days of Hillel of Bethel, in his days, talking about Ahab, Hillel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid the foundation with Abraham, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Shegub. He set up its gates according to the word of the Lord, which had been spoken through Joshua, son of Nun. And so, when the man who rebuilt Jericho, the curse was fulfilled. Now, when someone has wronged, someone that you have wronged can curse you. Someone that you have wronged can stand up and speak a curse over you. Let's look at Judges. Let's go to Judges 9. Now, you all remember the story of Gibeon, who defeated the Mennonites. Anyway, he defeated the enemy. Thank you, Lord. Midianites. Defeated the Midianites. And he was called Jeroboam also. And he had 80 sons. And then he had one illegitimate son. And after his death, the illegitimate son talked to the people at Shechem, where he came from. And they went over and killed all of Jeroboam's other sons, except one, and made Jeroboam king over there. And Jotham was his son. And so let's look at Judges 9:5. They went to the father's house at Ophram and killed his brother, 70 sons of Jeroboam, on one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jeroboam, was left because he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together at Ben-Bilio, and they went and made Abimelech king beside the tree and the pillow that was at Shechem. Now when it was told to Jotham, he went and stood up on the mount of Gizim, which is a mount of cursing, and he cried out his voice, he lifted his voice and cried out and said to them, and there's a whole 8 through 15 is a nice curse if y'all want to read it, but let's go on down to verse 15. Verse 16. Now, therefore, if you've acted in truth and sincerity in making Abimelech king, then you've dealt well with Jeroboam and his house and done well with him as he deserves. For my father fought for you and risked his life and delivered you out of the hand of Midian. But if you have risen up against my father's house this day and killed his 70 sons on one stone and made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother, if you have acted in truth and sincerity with Jeroboam and with his house on this day, then rejoice in Jeroboam and let him rejoice in you. If not, let fire come out of Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and Beth-Millo, and let fire come out of the men of Shechem and from Beth-Millo and devour Abimelech. And in verse 23, God sent a spirit of ill will between Shechem and Abimelech, the men of Shechem. And if you read this thing on out for the next 30 verses, you will find that the curse came to pass, and both the men of Shechem and Abimelech died. Fire actually came out and consumed them. And it's interesting to read out how the curse worked out. But it was a curse from someone who had been wronged. Now, Lee Nystrom, I was talking to Lee, and before Lee got saved, he was a Swedish curse caster. And the one thing that he said he was always very careful of, he always investigated the case very carefully before he would cast a curse to make sure there was a cause. Because a curse causes cannot lie. He didn't know the scripture, but he knew that if he cast a curse and there was no cause for it, it could come back on him. But you got someone that you've wronged, they can curse you. That means they can say an evil imposition against you. They can say evil words against you. And that has weight in the spiritual world. Now, I was raised in the South, on a cotton plantation. I was the chosen one on whom my great-grandfather's divination spirit had fallen. And I was very interested in this sort of thing. And we had a hoodoo who lived on the very close by, and I won't mention his name, but I was very interested, and I used to watch him cast curses and divinate. I didn't really understand what he was doing, and he really would not explain to me what was happening, but I could see the results. And I remember so well there was this young girl who worked for us, and she wanted to, see, he was a professional. And he'd sell love potions and arguments, and that's a type of sorcery, and he would speak words over them. And I remember this girl wanted this man to marry her, and so he said, bring in part of your menstrual period on a piece of cloth. And so he put that into the potion, and he spoke words over it. And what I thought was Swahili, but now I realize was demonic tongues. And he spoke also some English over it, and he sold it to her. And she put it in his coffee and drank it. He, a lust spirit, went into that poor man, and he married her. He had to have her. And she wouldn't sleep with him unless he married her, and he married her. Marriage didn't work out too well. But I saw a girl die from a curse that was placed by a professional. I've seen two people die from it. And these were spoken things. But we'll get on down to that to the professional shortly. Now, what I want to talk about now is well-meaning people who pray prayers, and they call soulish prayers. And they have weight and effect in the spiritual realm. Let's look at James chapter 3. I want to be very careful with this because there's a line here. And I want you to understand what I'm trying to say to you. All right, let's look at James 3, 13 through 16 or 17. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct what that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. Now, where does wisdom come from? From Jesus Christ. He is the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians, first chapter, says he is the wisdom of God. He's the strength of God. Proverbs, he is personified as wisdom. Okay. In the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy or self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, or soulish, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Now, if you have, and so you say, look at your prayers. Are you praying from the Holy Ghost? Are you praying from your soul? If you have envy, self-seeking, if it's a selfish prayer, or a prayer to control someone, or prayer because you have covetousness, that's a soulish prayer. And that prayer has weight in the spiritual realm. And sometimes you can feel when people are praying against you, a soulish prayer. One of the very common prayers that we have, one of the problems I have when we have people come out of Catholicism into our church, and you can tell when it's novena time because their family will be going to the church and lighting the candles and praying to Mary to bring them back to the church. And they can tell the pressure, the oppression that comes on them. And they say, what do you do? I said, well, you ask God to show you and you bless those people. You just sit down and bless them. Just bless your family and ask God to bring them to salvation. That's all you do. You say, Jesus, you are my protector and my defender. And you put up the shield of faith. And who is your faith? Jesus Christ. And you put up the shield of faith to protect you from the fiery darts of the evil one. Because you notice it says it is earthly, soulish, and demonic. And so when this oppression comes on you, And so, when you have a feeling that things aren't going right, you say, well, how do you know that you're under a curse? Well, I do some book. Dr. Derek Prince has written an excellent book that I would suggest all of you get. It's called Blessing or Cursing. And he gives you 7 reasons to know when you're under a curse. When you got a medical problem that won't get well. When you seem to be accident prone. When you got financial problems, even though you make adequate money, it seems like there's a hole in the bottom of your purse and it all just runs out and the devourer just can get it all the time. and he lists four or five others. And you would do all well to read the book. It's an excellent book. But soulish prayers. Now, you can bring these soulish prayers on yourself. If you keep praying for something that you don't, that selfishly, you can bring things like disappointment, bitterness towards God, bitterness towards others, make you covetous because apparently God's giving to them and not giving to you. It can affect you in all sorts of. Now, the Bible says if you've got food in your, on your table and clothes on your back and a place to live, you ought to be happy. Biblical prosperity is that you have your basic needs met, that you have enough money to fulfill the ministry that God has called you to, and some left over to share with others. That's biblical prosperity. You should always have some to share with others, because I tell you, you can always find somebody worse off than you are. Let's look at Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19:17. He who has pity on the poor lends to God, and he will pay back what he's given. So if you have pity on the poor, God is your, will pay you back. He says you're lending to God Almighty, and he will pay you back. That's the only place in the world I know that God says he puts himself in a position of being a debtor. That's when you lend to the poor. When you have pity on the poor, God will take care of you. No matter how much you've got, you still should have some to share with others. And God will bless you, because the scripture says, give, and it shall be given back, full measure, pressed down, running over, he'll pour it into your bosom. And what do you give? Give whatever you've got, whatever you need. If you give out of your need, God will give back to you. Now, you give because you want to give. God loves a cheerful giver. I don't like the... Well, we'll come on to that later. Praise the Lord. The last is witchcraft. Let's look at Exodus 13, verses 17 to 23. But that's the Exodus, I mean Ezekiel, I'm sorry. Ezekiel 13. I've written down EX on my notes, it's Ezekiel. Ezekiel 17, 13, verse 17. Now here we have a judgment. Likewise, son of man, set your faces against the daughters of our people who prophesy of their own heart, prophesy against them. Thus says the Lord God, it says women in my translation, but it says in italics, so it could be the men, who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils on the heads of the people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt souls of my people to keep yourself alive? Will you profane me among my people for hands full of barley and pieces of bread, killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live by your lying to my people who listen to your lies? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic charms, which you hunt souls like flying things. I will tear them out of your arms and let the souls go, the souls you hunt like flying things. I will tear off your veils and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall no longer be prey to your hand, and you will know that I am the Lord. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and you have strengthened the hand of the wicked, so he has not turned from his wicked way to save his life. Therefore, you shall no longer envision futility or practice divination. For I will deliver my people out of your hand, for you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, here are people who are prophesying, and they're telling lies. What they're doing is they're speaking words. And they're speaking words, they're speaking lies, they're speaking curses, they're putting magic charms, and they're practicing witchcraft. And yet, you see that they are capturing souls, part of your personality, part of your intelligence, part of your will. Your soul is your intellect, your will, and your emotions. They're capturing part of it. Now, this is done regularly by good shamans. You should hear Brother Parrish talk about it down in Guatemala, where it is practiced frequently. I have seen it done. It's real, people. It's real. I've seen people die from witchcraft. I've seen two people die from having the curse put on them. One when I was a little boy on the cotton plantation, and one when I was a physician. And I was asked to see this girl in consultation by a friend of mine in my hometown when I went back to visit, and I watched that girl die. And she had the hoodoo had put a hex on her, and she died. We had her posted, couldn't find any poison or anything. She just died. She's just like the one of the other one. She just curled up in a ball and died. And here it says, also, they can heal. This the hoodoo was called Doctor. He had a name. He had people who came from long distances for healing. If you go into third world, you'll find that the witch doctor is also the medical doctor who heals. And when he speaks to the demons, he says, little brother. He says, little brother, would you please? Spiritualists that do exorcisms take the demons into themselves. Yeah? They take them into themselves. And you got a bad spirit? Well, fine. I got just what you need. Maybe bad for her, maybe good for you, and give it to you. Praise the Lord. Remember, when you're dealing with the devil's counter, though, you're always straight up. You've got migraine headaches, you take your migraine headaches and give you a brain tumor. Praise the Lord. Okay. And so you see, curses are very real. The spoken word is very important. The word can be spoken for good or for evil. The point I want to make to you is this. God said, Jesus Christ said, I give you all authority over all the power of the enemy. That's the good news. The good news is you don't have to suffer. That Jesus Christ gives you the power to break these things. And he will give you the knowledge and the wisdom to know what to do if you ask him. For he has all knowledge and all wisdom. And by his grace, he is always more willing to give than we are to receive. If you come to him in humility, for he gives grace to the humble, but the proud he puts far off. You know, if you want something from God, you come humbly before him. Remember now, I said, we just talked in the Bible. I don't know any place in there where you've got a right to come in and demand something from God. You're his son, and you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. But the covenant is between a greater power and a lesser power. God is the greater power. You're the lesser power. And you come before him. If you come in humility, acknowledging who he is, come boldly to him, as his son, in humility, and ask. God is gracious. Hebrews says, come boldly before the throne of grace. But you come with an air of humility. And how do you, what is humility? Well, the Bible said, David said, I have humbled myself by fasting. By fasting. Denying your flesh. By being a servant. That's what Jesus did. He took a job for the worst Hebrew slave didn't have to do. And he washed the feet of the disciples. And he says, I have given you an example to follow. Try serving. Humble yourself before God. And he will lift you up. And he gives grace to the humble. But the proud, he stands against. But God resists the proud. That word resist means stand in full battle array. Now, and so we can stand against curses, and we can break them. The flip side of this coin is that you can make confessions that are positive confessions for yourself, for your children, for your family. The confession that I make is one that I sort of lifted from Brother Derek Prince, and I'll use it a lot in deliverance. A lot of people, when they get up in the morning, they quote Ephesians 10. They put on the whole armor of God, and they repeat this. And of course, the armor of God is Jesus Christ. If you go through the things mentioned in the armor of God, I can give you a scripture showing you each one of them. It's just Jesus Christ. Jesus is your armor. You stand in him. But the confession I make is, Lord, I thank you that I am not a rejected child, that I am a child of God, that you sent your spirit in me. And let's look at Romans 8:15. I know these things by heart. I can quote them by heart. Romans 8:15 said, we did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but received a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit we're children of God. And if we're children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if indeed we suffer with him that we might be glorified together. I say thank you, Lord, that I am not a rejected child, that I am your child, that I have been redeemed. I have been redeemed out of the hand of the devil. Ephesians 1:7 says, through Jesus Christ, I have been redeemed out of the hand of the devil. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sin, according to his riches and grace. The blood of Jesus Christ. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, I am justified and made righteous, just as if I've never sinned. Romans 5:9 says, much more now, we have been justified by his blood and saved from the wrath to come. In the court of heaven, I have been acquitted. I have been declared not guilty. I am righteousness. I am righteous with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, my Lord. I stand perfect before you, Lord. I thank you that you have adopted me as your son. Hebrews 13:12 says, Jesus therefore also suffered without the gate, might sanctify the people with his blood. Lord, I thank you that Jesus Christ's blood has sanctified me, made me holy, and set me apart for you. Lord, I thank you that I'm a holy vessel because I have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm no longer a sinner. That my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That Jesus Christ's blood has made me by the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in me. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. And the price was not corruptible gold or silver, but the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you, Lord God. Oh, God, I glorify you in this body, Lord, which is yours. It's your body, Lord God. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord. And if it's your body, Lord God, you're responsible for the maintenance, Lord. You're responsible to keep it in shape, Lord, and to heal it. And I thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Satan, you got no place in me, no power over me through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, that is a confession I make. Now, that Derek Prince has listed in his book over there a number of confessions that you can make. And he says there that on people with great fear and trembling, he writes these down because he's afraid that some people will think that God is a vending machine. And you put the right confession in, you're supposed to get something out. And God, in his grace and wisdom, and he always is, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my thoughts are not your time. Solomon says there's a time in the world, there's a time for everything. And so, but I think it's important that you make positive confessions. One of those that I like is that I shall not die, but I shall live and serve the Lord. And anyway, I think that you should get the book and read it, and learn to confess positive, and watch what comes out of your mouth, people. Because you can curse yourself. You can say, oh, I'm just a dummy. Lord, I didn't say that. Name of Jesus. Lord, I confess I'm so cut. Name of Jesus. Lord, I've got to reject it in the name of Jesus. But you can make all types of self-curses. And the devil is a legalist. He's a legalist. He's a crooked lawyer. And he'll use every dirty trick in the book to get you because he hates you. He hates every one of you. You are made in God's image. He hates God. He can't touch God. He fought against him once and he lost. He can't touch God, but he can touch you. You're made in God's image. And he can say, look, God, it's your image down there. See there? And he hates your guts and he wants to kill you as painfully and as degradingly as when you were unsaved, he didn't even know your name. You were a prisoner of war. In Luke, it says, in Luke 3, Jesus said, I came to set the captives free. That word captive in the Greek means a prisoner of war. You were just a number to him. But when you walked out of the devil's jailhouse, he knew your name. That's the first time he ever knew your name. When you got a personal Savior, you got a personal devil. Did you know that? You got a personal devil. He assigned demons to you to follow you around. And when you got filled with the Spirit, he drew a red line under your name. He said, that one is dangerous. Because suddenly, that one can work in the spiritual realm and do me damage. And suddenly when you got through, and you walked in him, he drew a circle around your name, put big arrows down into it, and said, this one is dangerous because they can destroy my kingdom. Through deliverance, you can pull down the devil's kingdom. Through prayer, deliverance, and through positive confession. Now, I could talk on a long time, but I have duplicated here a whole bunch of the confessions that I get, and I'll put them on the table back there. I agree with Brother Speed that you probably, there's an old Arabic proverb says, that which is too easily obtained is very lightly esteemed. But I cannot charge for these and reproduce them. Brother Prince says, as long as I give them away, that's fine. I can't sell them. Though. So I will leave them, and I ask you to take them home and use them. Read them to the devil. He hates them. He hates them. And read them to demons. Oh, demons, if you want to see demons, just go crazy. Read that to them. You read it out loud 3 or 4 times, and they might manifest in you. And you say, come out of me in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise you, Lord. Let's everybody stand up now. Let's hold up our hands and praise God. It is said that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your Lord Jesus. Praise your Lord Jesus. Praise your Lord Jesus. Mishandio, Mishimbario, Mishandio, Mishimbario, Mishatio, Mishimbario, Mishandio, Mishimbario, Mishatio. Oh, Jesus, we thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's sit down now. Praise your name. I'm going to lead you in a confession to break curses. I didn't try. There's lots more to curses that I haven't even touched. I've just sort of scratched the surface on this. And the authority of the spoken word, I've just sort of made a single fur down a big field. That's the reason I suggest that you get the book and you read it and study it. Because it is a fertile field that will set you free. It's a thing that is not really well understood by lots of people. And if you talk to, quote, educated people, quote, educated, they will tell you it's an old medieval, just old medieval talk. But they don't believe in demons either. And they don't believe in spirits, and they don't believe in miracles. And like Speed said, what do they pray for? But I tell you, they're real, folks. They're real. Praise you, Lord. I'm going to lead you in a prayer now. Dear Lord, we love you, Lord God. Lord, we want to be free. Free to serve you, Lord. Free to be obedient to you, Lord. Free to bear fruit for you, Lord. That your name might be glorified. Lord, I love you. I ask you, Lord, to set me free. Set me free from soulish prayers. From curses spoken by myself. Spoken by others. Against me. And my family members. Lord, I acknowledge. I have spoken. Unkind things. About other people. About myself. My children. My spouse. My parents. I acknowledge this is sin.
I ask forgiveness
on
the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask you to bless these people. Lord, I withdraw any curses. In the name of Jesus. I ask you to bless those people, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Jesus Christ
was made a curse for me.
That I might be delivered
from the curse of the law.
1 John 1:9
says,
if we confess our sins,
He is faithful and just
to forgive our sins
and cleanse us
of all unrighteousness.
Lord, I accept your cleansing.
In the name of Jesus.
Satan,
I serve you notice.
I'm counseling all these curses.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
You can come this way no more.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
To bless.
Lord, I ask you to bless
anyone
who has cursed me.
Your word says,
pray for those
who curse you, who
oppress you,
who spitefully use you,
or abuse you,
that you may be a son
or daughter
of our Father,
who is in heaven.
I thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Now, put both feet on the floor, and I'm going to call out some names. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I come against the curses now. I come against all self-inflicted curses in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against all self-inflicted curses in the name of Jesus. Curses of rejection now in the name of Jesus Christ. Rejection by father, rejection by mother, rejection by self. I come against all curses of rejection in the name of Jesus. I come against all rejection curses in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now in the name of Jesus. Come off of God's people. I come against all soulish prayers in the name of Jesus. I bind up the soulish prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind up all selfish prayers, all prayers of envy and selfishness and self-centeredness in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind up all prayers of jealousy and greed and covetousness in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind them up now in the name of Jesus Christ. I counsel them in the name of Jesus. I say, be gone from God's people. I speak to all these soulish prayers, all these curses in the name of Jesus. I say, come off of God's people in the name of Jesus. All you curses, come off in the name of Jesus Christ. I break all these curses in the name of Jesus. I break all curses of envy and jealousy in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I break all curses in the name of Jesus. I break all curses because of offenses in the past in the name of Jesus. I counsel the curses of offense in the name of Jesus Christ. I counsel all the curses of offense in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, be gone in the name of Jesus. All offense curses in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Curses from offended people in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I bind all curses from offense now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I come against all witchcraft now and sorcery in the I break the curse of witchcraft and sorcery on these people in the name of Jesus. These are God's people. Turn them loose now in the name of Jesus. All witchcraft, all sorcery, all divination in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose. Come against them in the name of Jesus Christ. All sorcery, all divination in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. All mind control, all sorcery, all control now. But witchcraft is a sin of rebellion. Rebellion against authority now in the name of Jesus. I come against all rebellion, all witchcraft in the name of Jesus. All witchcraft. Witchcraft mind control in the name of Jesus. I bind you. I isolate you from every other spirit. You can't draw power from any other spirit. You can't talk to any other spirit. I bind you and I command you to leave now in the name of Jesus. All witchcraft.
all Jezebel spirits, all spirits of Jezebel in the name of Jesus Christ, all spirits of Ahab, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. All spirits of Jezebel and Ahab in the name of Jesus, turn them loose now. All you spirits in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of God's people. For in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. All our sins have been forgiven in the name of Jesus. You can't control them anymore. I've broken the sin of witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I've broken the sin of control in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now. All divination now. All divination. All ESP. All ESP. All precognition. All parapsychology. All... in the name of Jesus, all divination, all water witching in the name of Jesus. All you divination spirits in the name of Jesus. All I break all the curses from the card layers in the name of Jesus. From the tea leaf, from the palm readers in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I break all curses from the mediums in the name of Jesus Christ. From the familiar spirits in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. I break all curses from the professional witches. In the name of Jesus, all witches now, I break all the curses been sent against God's people from occult sources in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, leave God's people. Leave God's people in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I speak against the spirits of confusion now. Spirits of confusion that have come in. I speak against all spirits of confusion in the name of Jesus that would confuse God's people. I speak against the spirits of confusion and frustration and amnesia in the name of Jesus. Leave God's people now. I break the curse that gives you the right to be there. I speak against the spirits of confusion in the name of Jesus. Confusion and amnesia in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus. All confusion and frustration in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirits of heaviness in the name of Jesus. All spirits of depression and heaviness in the name of Jesus. All spirits of depression and melancholy and suicide in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of oppression and suicide in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose. Turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus. All spirits of worthlessness in the name of Jesus. All spirits of worthlessness in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. All spirits of worthless spirits, po-me spirits in the name of Jesus. I'm a worthless character. I have no, in the name of Jesus, I have not, in the name of Jesus, I'm worthless. I have no worth in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, come out of them. Come out in the name of Jesus. All you spirits in the name of Jesus Christ, turn God's people loose. All spirits of worthlessness in the name of Jesus. All spirits of oppression. Bearing down spirits in the name of Jesus. Grinding down spirits in the name of Jesus. Spirits that would grind people down. Grind God's people down. Pulverize God's people. All spirits of oppression and trotting over people in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. I break the curse in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of poverty. The curse of poverty. Say they'll never be rich. We'll fix them. They'll always be poor. They'll always be spendthrifts. I come against the spirit of poverty, the spirit of spendthrift in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I break the curse of the hole in the bottom of the purse in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse in the name of Jesus. I break the curse that would rob you of your day's work in the name of Jesus Christ. Would rob you of your wages in the name of Jesus. I break all those curses. I come against the spirit of poverty now in the name of Jesus Christ. Poverty. Poverty in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirits of not being able to work in the name of Jesus. Not being productive. The unproductive spirits. I come against the spirits of accident prone in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirits that would cause people to have accidents in the name of Jesus. Accident prone, of being unproductive in the name of Jesus, of being slothful and lazy, lazy spirits in the name of Jesus, slothful spirits, lazy spirits, restful spirits, sleepy spirits, slumber spirits. I bind you all and I command you to leave God's people. I break the curse that gives you the right to be there in the name of Jesus. I break all the curses in the name of Jesus. The curses of slumber and slothfulness in the name of Jesus. Lazy spirits, unproductive spirits. Leave God's people in the name of Jesus Christ. I break all these curses in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of lust and fornication in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of pornography in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of visual lust in the name of Jesus. The curse of fantasy lust in the name of Jesus Christ. The lusting after things, lusting after power, lusting after position, lusting after pride in the name of Jesus. I break the curses of pride in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of being a coward and procrastination in the name of Jesus. I break the curses of being a curse in the name of Jesus. A coward, yellow curse, the yellow curse, the coward curse, the running curse, the hiding curse in the name of Jesus. All you hiding spirits and yellow spirits in the name of Jesus, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Live God's people, all of you in the name of Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, God, we praise you, Lord. Oh, God, touch your people now, Lord. Lord, we send the hornets from heaven, Lord. Lord, you said you'd send the hornets from heaven to drive out the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Lucites and the Jebusites, the Jebusites and the Ammonites and the Hittites. Lord, just drive them out now, Lord. Send the hornets from heaven and drive them out, Lord, and fill your people, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Just fill them now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirits now, Lord, that would make your people sick, Lord God. Would rob your people, Lord. Would rob your people with migraine headaches, Lord. Muscle aches and back aches and feeling bad and aching all over and arthritis. I come against the curse of arthritis and pains and aches in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Turn all God's people loose in the name of Jesus. I come against that curse of arthritis in the name of Jesus and headaches and backaches and tail aches in the name of Jesus. I come against the curse of gout in the name of Jesus Christ. Gout, I speak to gout. And I say, go, be gone in the name of Jesus. Gout, be gone in the name of Jesus. I come against the curse of brain tumors in the name of Jesus. The curse of confusion in the name of Jesus Christ. The curse of amnesia, the curse of learning disabilities in the name of Jesus. I come against the curse of not being able to learn in the name of Jesus. I speak to the learning disability spirits and the dyslexia spirits that keep people from learning in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bind them and I say, be gone in the name of Jesus. I break the curse that gives you the legal right to be there. I say, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go on and leave them in the name of Jesus. Leave God's people. Leave them in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and restoration to God's people in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak healing to the brain damage in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I speak healing to the brain damage caused by accidents in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. I speak healing to the brain damage caused by accidents, Lord, caused by sickness, Lord, in the name of Jesus, caused by the sickness and disease, Lord. I speak healing and restoration, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I speak restoration, Lord, to eyes and ears in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak restoration to eyes and ears in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak restoration to eyes and ears. People who can't hear, who can't see, been robbed by the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak restitution to them. For you came, Lord, to restore what the caterpillar, the cankerworm, the palmer worm has eaten in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Heal their eyes, heal their ears, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, I come against sinus trouble and hay fever, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and allergies and congestion, Lord. I bind these things in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curses, Lord, from the past. I break the curses from sinus trouble and hay fever and asthma, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I come against all these things. I say, asthma, come out. Hay fever, come out in the name of Jesus. Leave God's people in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave them. I speak to recurrent pneumonia in the name of Jesus. I speak to bronchopulmonary active airway disease. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave God's people in the name of Jesus. I speak to emphysema. Be gone. I speak to infections. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to laryngitis. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to laryngitis and tracheitis. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to esophagitis and be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to stomach ulcers. I say, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you all and I command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave God's people. Leave them in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go, go. I speak to constipation in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind up the spirits of constipation in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, let the colon go in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to colitis in the name of Jesus. I speak to duodenitis in the name of Jesus. Enteritis, no, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go from God's people. I speak to bladder problems in the name of Jesus. I speak to female problems in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of PMS in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of PMS in the name of Jesus Christ. And I say, leave God's people now in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of endometriosis. I break the curse of barrenness in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of barrenness. There'll be no barren in God's people. There'll be no barren in God's people in the name of Jesus. Leave God's people in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise your name, Lord. I thank you and I praise you and I bless you and I glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I come against all muscle pains now. I come against all muscle pains and diseases of the collagen system in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against lupus in the name of Jesus. I come against muscular dystrophy in the name of Jesus. I come against all muscle pains now, all collagen diseases in the name of Jesus. I come against lupus in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against muscle dystrophy in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against bone diseases in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose. I come against bone cysts in the name of Jesus. Arthritis in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus. I come against neuritis in the name of Jesus. I come against neuritis and polyitis in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now. I come against neuritis in the name of Jesus Christ. All pain from neuritis be gone in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I come against pain now. I come against bad circulation in the veins and the arteries. I say, open up in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus has borne our infirmities and our sorrows and our sickness and our pain. And by His stripes we have been healed. I speak to you, flesh, now. I say, line up with the Word of God, flesh. Line up with the Word of God. I speak to you, flesh. I say, line up with the Word of God in the name of Jesus. Line up with God's Word. I say, be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I send out the word of God and I say, be healed in the name of Jesus. All you be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Oh, lift up your hands and receive your healing, people. Praise your Lord God. Heal in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask you to heal them now, Lord. Heal all of them, Lord. Lord, pour your mercy in, Lord. Pour in your healing grace, Lord. For it's by grace, Lord, we've been saved, Lord. It's been grace we've been healed, Lord. Lord, healing is a children's bread, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you and I praise you and I bless you and I glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise your name, Lord. Lord, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. Oh, God, fill your people now, Lord God. Fill them. Praise Him, people. Praise Him. Praise your name, Lord. Fill them full, Lord. Oh, God, fill them now. Fill them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Fill them, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we thank you and we praise you and we bless you, Lord God. You're great and a mighty and a glorious God. There is no God like you, Lord. Lord, we praise your holy name now. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Does anybody have anything they want prayed for? I didn't mention. Praise you, Lord God. Fear of Lord, in the name of Jesus, I hold my sister up to you, Lord. I bind that spirit of fear. Let's hold out our hands to us and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Praise you. Your spirit of fear, you turn loose now. For God did not give her a spirit of fear, but He gave a spirit of power.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.